You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. Oklahoma Baptists would be familiar with the recent retirement of Anthony Jordan, who served 22 years as state executive here in Oklahoma, and a committee unanimously nominated and put forth the name of Hans Dilbeck to become new state executive, and he was recently installed at our November meeting. What our listeners may not be aware is the same process for choosing a new state executive happened recently in Georgia, in the Georgia Baptist Convention, called Thomas Hammond as its new executive director, and we welcome him to this edition of Messenger Insight. Dr. Hammond, welcome.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Great honor to be here with you.
Well, we are so excited to know that you are coming to Oklahoma next month in January. Dr. Hammond will be part of an all-star lineup at the Oklahoma State Evangelism Conference happening on January 28th and 29th right here in the Oklahoma City area. Check it out at bgco.org/sec. And Dr. Hammond, evangelism is a topic I know God has always had on your heart. Can you talk about your passion for evangelism and maybe weave together some experiences that you've had in ways you've been able to serve in this area?
Brian, I tell you, I'm of the conviction that the gospel is the power of God and salvation. I believe that men and women are lost without Christ, and it's our opportunity, our privilege, and honor to be His ambassadors to share the good news with those who don't know, who haven't heard. And that high calling and that privilege should be a motivation to us, but also their condition without Christ should also motivate us as well. So those are the ways in which I actually, the lens, I guess, which I look at my life, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm always fulfilling that, but it does mean that there is always this constant desire to share Christ whenever the opportunity presents itself, and to encourage others and equip others to do the same. You had asked about experiences. I actually left seminary and went, my wife and I were appointed as missionaries to Ohio back in the Home Mission Board days. I'm giving my age away now, but the Home Mission Board days, we had these missionaries that were appointed, and we were given the opportunity to serve the amazing people of Ohio and to encourage their churches in the area of evangelism. And we were there for a number of years and then left and went to a church called Hebron Baptist Church, which is in the metro Atlanta area. We were there for 5 years and served as the evangelism pastor, outreach and equipping and all the things that an evangelism pastor would do. And God blessed us with a tremendous result of reaching loss. We baptized hundreds and hundreds of people each year, and the church grew rapidly. And that's when the North American Mission Board called and said, would you come and take what you have done at Hebron and see if we can help other churches across the country. And we really felt God leading us. So we served at NAM for 15 years in church evangelism, mass, personal, and events, and all the things that we don't talk a lot about now, don't see a lot of those headings, but those are things that churches need to be continuing to do to reach out to the community, just doing it differently than we did years ago.
Well, we sure are appreciative of your service in the local church and your denominational service in leading the way in evangelism. You know, when you come and speak at the conference and someone were to ask you, you know, Dr. Hammond, what are you seeing working? Obviously, the gospel stays the same and the power of God through that, but technique or trends or what are you seeing on the ground as far as being effective by way of personal evangelism or the local church?
You know, the thing that's still as effective as it was 10 years ago or 100 years ago is when a person who is living faithfully for the Lord and pursuing Christ with all their heart, living a life of holiness and faithfulness in that way, and asking the Lord to open up doors and opportunities and pursuing those, God does that. Now, sometimes it would be an appointment in which you meet someone you've never seen before or may never see again, but the truth is, most of the experiences that I've had in my life are with a next-door neighbor, maybe it's the postman or the person at the bank, someone that I see on a regular basis. That's a part of my everyday traffic pattern. And I tell you what I think, Brian, that works is for us to live out our faith and continue to pray for people who are lost and pursue opportunities to walk through the doors that God opens for us, and to just to share in a very real and transparent way, and learn to share the gospel in more of a dialogue approach rather than a monologue where I'm doing all the talking. And I just feel like if we can mobilize the army of people to start looking for opportunities to share and to minister, to encourage, I think it would be transformative to our individuals, our churches, and to our country. Nothing changes a life like seeing a life change. And so I think that what's working now is just people being relational, being authentic and transparent and real. But I will tell you this, one of the most important things right now is for us to continue to equip our people to continue to, I would say, sharpen the edge of our folks to sharing their faith with training, with resources, and with encouragement.
Well, you'll be doing just that when you're here at the State Evangelism Conference, and we really look forward to that. I know to take on a role like you just did with being a state executive, it is a massive undertaking, you following Dr. Bob White, who served 20-some years. What vision, what hopes has God put on your heart for the state of Georgia and the ripple effect in America and around the world? What are some things?
Well, I think all of us see this. I'm sure your trends are similar to our trends, in that we're looking at churches where attendance is becoming less and less. Faithfulness and commitment is becoming less and less. We're seeing not just attendance, but baptisms and giving and so many things that are not where they were 10 years ago. And we can feel defeated because we know that we're pushing against a culture that is obviously going in a different direction. Or we can see it as an opportunity to make a real difference. We can either cocoon and hide ourselves from the world, or we can get out and start shining brighter in a darker culture. And that's one of the things that we're going to be doing, is we're going to become much more proactive with our approach. We want to help pastors where they are. The reality is pastors aren't calling us and saying, hey, come help, because they're already so busy. And so what we want to do is be going to them and proactively developing relationships, listening to what their needs are, and then responding to their needs in that way. The church is the reason why we exist. And so if we're not helping the church, helping the pastor, resourcing, equipping, and doing everything we can to help the churches become better at reaching, then we're putting a weight or a burden on them that is not providing any benefit. So we understand that pastors are our heroes and churches are our customers, and our mission is to help others fulfill theirs. So that's where we're going as a convention, and I'm very excited. Pastors that I've been talking about are excited as well.
Good word. Dr. Hammond, can you share a story from your own life, maybe a personal example of personal evangelism, an everyday gospel encounter that God used to change someone's life, or even just sow seeds that you hope bear fruit ultimately? And just walk us through what one of those may have looked like for you.
There was a family that lived right across the cul-de-sac from us. It was a family that lived a lifestyle quite different than we did in the sense of their ethics, and just a very worldly family, just describe it like that. And when they found out that I was a Baptist preacher and they found out that we were living a different lifestyle than what they really espoused, they were just shocked and stunned and actually quite disappointed that a Baptist preacher had moved into the neighborhood. And this dear family, we got to know them, began to love on them, and they became dear friends of ours, and we were friends of theirs. I would just say this. We started sharing with them early on, and this was a couple that didn't believe there was a God. And my wife and I were just so encouraged to see them go from there is no God to maybe there is, but can we know him? Well, if we could know him, does he want to know us? It was just watching the evolution of their faith over these weeks that became months. That actually for the wife became even more than a year, but we were given the opportunity one day because of a tragedy that took place, a difficulty, I'll say it this way, a trial in their family that led to an openness on the husband's part to the gospel. And I was able to share with him again the gospel. And he said to me, he said, Thomas, you've shared this with me many times, but today it just makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, John, are you ready to make your step of faith and commitment? And he said, I absolutely am. And so he prayed, received Christ. And this is what he said to me. He said, Thomas, I don't know why I haven't been open to this in the past, but I understand this is what I need. And so he said, well, what do I do now? So we had the chance to walk with him for several months leading up to a year of just mentoring him, discipling him, and helping him grow in his faith. And the transformation that God did in his life actually led to his wife giving her faith to Christ as well, or placing her faith in Christ as well. So that was one of those experiences where this was a family that if they were a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 meaning they're red hot for God, and 1 means they're a long way away, they were a negative 20. And to see them now come to a point of their faith where they're now surrendered to the Lord was so encouraging to my wife and I as we reached out and ministered to them. And that was a story that took, you know, now we hear these stories, well, that took 6 weeks or 6 months. No, it took almost a year of discipling them. But when someone gives their life to Christ, it has such an impact upon us. In fact, we always say this, Brian, nothing changes a life like seeing a life changed.
Good word. Praise God for that. Thank you for sharing that. Before we end our time here, is there a way Oklahoma Baptists can pray for you and your ministry?
Two things that I really would covet. If you would pray for me to have wisdom. I know Solomon was told that by God, he'll give him anything, and Solomon said, give me wisdom. And that's my prayer, too. The second thing I would say is courage. The steps that we take in leading are always impactful and are always difficult. And ministry is always hard. There's never a time in which ministry is going to be easy. And so I would just pray for wisdom, ask for prayer for wisdom and for courage.
Amen to that. We will. We've been talking to Thomas Hammond, who's state executive in the Georgia Baptist Convention. Come hear Dr. Hammond preach at the Oklahoma State Evangelism Conference, January 28th, 29th. Check it out, bgco.org/sec. Once again, thank you for coming on the podcast and all your ministry work.
Hey, I look forward to being in Oklahoma very soon. God bless you, guys.
God bless you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.